and welcome to Our Lot in Block 5, the podcast for Gooners by Gooners. And I've got John Ruben with me. Hello, John.
Evening, all.
And I've also got Stuart Izzard, as usual.
Hello.
Hello. And we are upbeat, aren't we, boys? Yeah, what an atmosphere.
Fear.
Love them. Yes, it's the deadline day window has firmly closed. And while other clubs have picked up the Ronaldos, your Messis, your Lukakus, we've got Arsenal's latest Japanese signing, Takahiro Tomiyasu.
Have we actually signed someone?
Yes, we've signed a right back from Bologna, and so he's got Italian experience in defence. It's Takahiro Tomiyasu. There you go. So we've got a lovely
and experienced Premier League right back.
Yeah.
And get someone in that.
We decided to have some sort of klaxon this week. If we turn negative at any point, we would sound a klaxon.
No, but that's about the football. That's about the football. This is about something I knew absolutely nothing about. So, as you can tell, I pay absolutely no interest in
transfer deadline
because my assumption is we spent shitloads of cash anyway. What was it last week? Someone said we'd spent the most than any club in Europe. So that was you or Stuart said that. So what are we going to buy? We're going to spend another 100 million? No, we're going to spend fucking £5 and a quarter cough candy or something.
Yeah, no, listen, we have spent the most, but we've bought 6-7 players. So, you know, when you're talking like Chelsea's and Man City's, they've spent hundreds of millions.
I mean, they both had... Chelsea and Man City both had sort of £250 million windows in last summer, didn't they?
Yeah.
And for City, you were a little bit like, who out for they actually signed? Because they bought sort of Ruben and that Torres and all the people that beat us on Saturday.
No, Matt, they didn't because I'm still on the Block 5 podcast. They didn't put on the Blue Moon podcast. They didn't pay £100 million to transfer me over.
If only you could be Ruben, John Ruben.
You know, I'd be interested in finding out, though,
exactly
why the Kane deal didn't go through. Because Kane obviously wanted to leave, and they obviously had the money.
Mm.
So what was the actual stalling point? I mean, what was the... What? Spurs weren't
probably
just
Tottenham
sell
don't
it.
Have to sell. Well, that's the be-all and end-all, is that Tottenham didn't have to sell. You know, so the player's decision is one thing.
And therefore it negates all the crap about players have all the power. Because like you just pointed out, and I said last season or the season before, players do not have the power. While they're under contract, the club can do whatever they like with them. So, for instance, if Aubameyang carried on being like a sulky git, never play football for this club ever again. You will sit at home, you won't train, you won't do a thing. We will pay you, but you will never step foot on a training ground or in the football club.
Well, I suppose that's a bit of a chance they take, isn't it, when they've been offered a mega deal. They're under contract, you know.
But what I'm saying is, people insist that players have the power. They don't. They're under contract, that's it. You cannot break a contract unless it's by agreement. Like Willian agreed to cancel his contract with Arsenal and lose 20 million quid, apparently. But fair play to him. But
well, that is fair play to him, actually, because he obviously realised it wasn't going well. It was unlikely that he was going to be able to move. It was unlikely that he was going to play. So the player made the decision, cancel my contract, which is quite a brave move in this sort of day and age, really, isn't it? Particularly
at
his age.
He went to Brazil.
At least he didn't go down the Winston Bogard, Mesut Ozil route. You know what I mean? It was
like the cash and nothing.
Yeah, just I'm gonna go. You know, it ain't worked out. So
someone else did that as well, didn't they? Last night, last year
was it not Kolasinac? Who was the other one who cancelled his contract?
We will get on to Kolasinac in a minute.
Who was other defence? The big guy, Yard Geezer, who stuck up for Ozil.
That is Kolasinac.
Right. Who's the other hard bloke we had then?
We didn't have any more hard
blokes. Yeah, we did. The centre back, the fucking mentalist.
I don't know.
Oh,
what season? Big guy, beard.
Beard? Oh,
he had a beard.
He didn't have a beard, did he? But he sometimes had a bit of stubble.
Soccer.
Yeah, he went as well. There's been a lot of outs, hasn't there? Let's face it. And we have to bring
so
in...
we've just to confirm them. So between last week and now, we've Lucas Torreira's joined Fiorentina on loan. Willian's left the club. That was on Monday. And Reece Nelson's joined Feyenoord on loan. Alex Runnison's joined Leuven on loan. And Hector Bellerin's joined Real Betis on loan.
As well as that, you got Guendouzi's joined Marseille on loan.
Yeah, he joined Marseille earlier.
So, William Saliba.
Yeah, Marseille. Unbelievable, really, isn't it?
You know, there's a lot of players gone out. A
lot of criticism for Arsenal this week about Saliba not being part of the squad.
Yes.
Still, after, you know, several years now of being sort of left out in the cold. I mean, obviously, Marseille are a big club. It's not being totally out in the cold, but he's our property.
He's probably quite happy. I'll tell you what, like, being a French kid, he's probably more than happy to be over there.
Yeah, and he's playing well, John. He's his stats and everything are really good.
And when you think, you know, we took a chance on Gabriel, who's relatively young, centre-back. Not sure what's caused us to say, yeah, it's okay to have Shay Kolasinac as one of the centre-backs on Saturday and not have William Saliba in our squad. That's where we start to see some weird things going on about the way Arsenal have done business, isn't
definitely.
It? It's very, very difficult to understand. I know that there's been reports that Bellerin has been told he's not good enough to play for Arsenal by Arteta. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But
and they played together, didn't they? Bellerin and Arteta?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a weird thing going on.
Then why not sell him? Why not go, we're selling you. Off you go.
I think they tried.
I do think they tried. I don't think, John, that teams at the moment, there's definitely a recession in football. I don't think, you know, teams can pay anywhere near the money. And then the wages. So I think what Arsenal probably done with Bellerin is get him off the books for a year and let's see what happens next summer sort of thing.
Well, let's put it this way, Stuart, right, yeah? At the end of the day, if he's not good enough to play for Arsenal, and I still think he's better than some of the people that we got, by agreement, cancel his contract. He's been a good servant to the club. How long has he been there? 10 years? More than 10 years?
Yeah, he's been a long time.
I think he's done all right. He's given us enough. You know, there were times when he was absolutely brilliant. Maybe not of late, but he was absolutely brilliant at times. So, look, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll cancel your contract by mutual agreement. You can go and join him on a free. There you go. Off you go.
Yeah,
see you later.
Yeah.
I think in some cases, like with Willian, where it's a cash, you know, we got him on a free and it's a big cash deal. So 20 million or so a year. To pay him, then, you know, it's quite right that we would want to see that contract out. Bellerin, I don't know what he's on, but there's no point in just letting him cancel his contract. We must be able to get something from him, even if we have to hold on till his contract runs out and let another club pay it. You know, it seems like that's what's happening. As Stuart said, we're struggling in a recession. We're one of the few clubs who actually have invested quite a lot of money this summer. On players that
you know, we could, if things don't work out, because of their age and everything else, that are still going to be worth money rather than aging players that people don't want to spend that sort of money on. You know, they're going to invest in younger players, and I think it's going to have an effect on, you know, when we spoke about Willian. You know, I think he thought, well, no one is going to come in for me at that money. Look at poor Jack Wilshere at the minute.
Yeah.
You know, I read something. Is he training with a Serie B club in Italy? You know, and this is the thing. Clubs can't gamble. Money's tight. Although money is stupid, you know, it's still you know, sickening money. The money Ronaldo's going to get and Messi's still going to get and stuff. Admittedly, they're the best couple of players in the world, but there is still the money there. But I just think spread across however many players there are, it's not there. It's not there. And, and players are going to...
Back, Stuart, in that situation then, I've lost my point here. I did have a point. What was the point I was going to make? I had a really good point to make. And I just totally lost it.
If I'll carry on...
There's actually any point in trying to recoup any money from players.
All I was going to say was...
If you carry on, I'll think about it.
but bear in mind, Arsenal and again, a good thing, because a lot of people are anti-Arteta, and rightly so, with results. But when you look at Mikel Arteta actually convinced most of the Arsenal squad to take a pay cut during the COVID, because, you know, the club were asking, you know, they're obviously going to struggle. Things are changing. I think wages are going to drop, you know, until things get back on the feet. The bubble has burst, you know, and it's a bit like, just say the motor trade, which is obviously what I'm in. But if there's only so many jobs out there, and you can't go bowling about, if people are desperate for that, they'll offer you that money. It's just a thing in life, isn't it? At the moment, there seems to be a lot of clubs are probably thinking, well, we've got prospects coming up, youth teams. We might have to gamble with some of the younger players, you know, and bring them through. We're not going to go and move. We're not going to go and buy and be able to ransom buy players, which was the case. I think the boot's starting to fall on the other foot. And if you dig your heels in hard enough as a player at the moment, you can find yourself out of work. I think I said this with Lionel Messi. Had Lionel Messi not gone to PSG, where was he going? Because of the financial, I mean, Barcelona themselves, to fall in line with financial fair play and the fact they're absolutely in the shit. I think Busquets and there's
it's like a fire sale, isn't it?
Well, no,
Ramos has gone. No, sorry, that is Real, isn't he?
But
Griezmann Busquets, went yesterday back to Atletico. That Royal's gone to Tottenham.
What my point was more, Matt, that Busquets and another quite profile player at Barcelona both took pay cuts yesterday or the day before, so that who's the kid he left Man City? Who's at Barcelona? Jesus, top goal scorer, Aguero.
Yeah.
So Aguero can fit into their squad.
It's almost like the players have got so much power that they're the ones controlling.
Clubs are having to drop, and players have got to accept at the moment that unless they do, you know, it wasn't that long ago where it was just stupid. Players are getting silly money, and I think this whole pandemic thing has changed it. And football players are going to wake up quickly and go, look, we had our A day. It's a bit like every business during a recession, you know, businesses struggle. And if it means they can't pay wages of a certain amount, if you want a job there, you either take it or you're out of work. It's that scenario. I think, and it's not often it's the football world. I mean,
it sounds like there was some rumours knocking around that Aubameyang was and Lacazette were both asked to take pay cuts. Now, whether that's the whole team have been asked to take pay cuts and they've taken exception to it for whatever reason, or there's been some serious problems with, you know, performance from Aubameyang, and whether there's been a plea to say, look, we're going to have to sell you or you can take a pay cut. It sounds like something's been going on in the background.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, that has obviously been unsettling for everyone. But it's really, you know, regardless of the what's going on with who's going coming and going and who's not, who's staying and who's suddenly reappearing after, you know, a year of being away on loan to the centre, you know, to the centre back position at a time when we're playing the champions. I just don't get what we're doing. You know, we're not stupid, are we? Are we stupid? I don't think we're stupid. I think we've seen this club. I think we've seen football over the last 30, 40 years, and we know what's good business and what's bad business. And all we seem to be doing at the minute is pretty much bad business. You know, we're buying players, sending them out on loan when we should be having them in the club. We're having to rely on youngsters. We're dealing with big players, giving them massive contracts, and then watching them.
You can say that about any club, Matt. I mean, for instance, Odegaard. Right? He was out on loan all over the place. We finally bought him. Yeah. You know, so it's not just us that's doing it.
No, but other I mean, clubs, I think like that, you know, it's the nature potential of the way we've done it. In that, you know,
yeah, I get that.
Right back, you know,
if you go get back, a young player,
Martinez, we let Martinez player go, and then we're paying huge money for a new keeper when probably we let the wrong keeper go.
No, I didn't. I really do not believe we let the wrong keeper go. All right? Because at the end of the day, I still think Leno is a great goalkeeper. All right? Even Martinez would have let 5 goals in at the weekend, if not more, quite frankly. It's just the way it goes. Because you can always have a one good season. Right? What is it? The guy who filled in for Seaman when we won the league.
Manninger.
Manninger wasn't a better keeper than Seaman, but Manninger had a great season. When Lehman was injured, I can't remember who filled in for Lehman. It might have been Almunia. He had some great games, but he wasn't a better keeper than Lehman. You are capable of having...
I thought he had a good season for Aston Villa, and he was the Golden Glove winner for Copa America. So,
yeah,
you know.
But he hasn't had a great start to this season, Matt. He hasn't had a great start to this season. So, I do,
I guess you wanted to play first team football, I guess. But there's, you know, this sort of endless switching of players when we've already got a player. It's just like, it's whoever the manager doesn't fancy. You know, Lucas Torreira, what happened to him? We were all pretty adamant that he was a decent player. Yeah,
but he didn't buy him, did he? Didn't what's name buy him? Whoever bought him. So he just, I still think, and I've had this conversation, I've come up with this, right? Yeah, not necessarily about the weekend in terms of his performance or lack of therein, but Xhaka, right? Now, my mate said, and I think I can't remember who I chatted to about this, it must mean my mate Ibra today. Man United fan, Ibra, if you're listening, here's your shout out, man. So anyway, my mate was telling me, my mate Marcus, how can someone be so fantastic throughout a tournament and so bad for your club? When he plays for Sweden, he's really good. When he plays for Arsenal, or Switzerland, sorry. When he plays for Arsenal, he's a bit ropey, right? That comes down to, I mean, he played, 5 games in that tournament, and he was in the team of the tournament, or something. That comes down to there's an issue with our manager or our training, because you cannot play for another team as sporadically as he does play for Switzerland and play very well, but as soon as you get back to club level, you're dog shit. There's a problem with the way he's being used in his role at Arsenal. There has to be.
I mean, this
can't be fantastic and then shit.
What I don't get, John, more than anything, is that how can a player who we've just signed on a 4-year deal goes out, you know, with knowing that he's going to be at this club for another 4 years, and play like and make that tackle on Saturday like that?
Oh, I agree.
Where he has absolutely no responsibility. He took absolutely no responsibility, did he?
Was it Liverpool, Henry? He got sent off for the same sort of thing, and he did his bollocks. Yeah. You know, he went in two-footed, totally missed. In fact, he went in two-footed. He didn't even connect with the player. It was just your intent. You was 2 feet off the ground, off you go. And he done his bollocks. I mean, well, not even touched him. So
no, I'm talking about, I mean, nobody, is anyone disputing that that was a red card? Because I'm not. It was wild, out of control, and it doesn't really matter whether you catch the player or not.
No, but I know what we're saying.
That's frustration, and that's typical Granit Xhaka.
Yeah, he's ruined the rest of the game for us straight away.
But that's typical,
you know?
Granit Xhaka at Arsenal. That's not Granit Xhaka when he plays for his national team.
Well, I'm not so sure. I think that that's all a bit over the top about what he's done for Switzerland, because
he missed their last game of the tournament because he was suspended because he picked up silly yellows.
France in that game they played just fucking blew it. You know, they let them get back into it. I don't think Xhaka particularly had anything to do with that.
And most people I speak to say how great he was during that tournament.
Yeah, but I think they're picking on us a bit as well. Don't you think that they're sort of picking on us a little bit? That Switzerland are a decent team generally.
This wasn't even before the season. This wasn't even now. This was literally...
No, but it's all the time, isn't it, with Xhaka and with Arsenal players, when they go and do something good for their country, it's like, oh, well, why can't they play like that for Arsenal? You know, we've seen it all before, haven't we?
Yeah, there's a media thing to get Arteta out at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at the stats on Saturday, and I hate to be, you can set off the klaxon if you want, but 81% possession for City. We had one attempt at goal. It was off target. I don't know whether it was the Smith Rowe one that hit him. But what kind of team are we? We didn't even have a shot. We didn't even have a shot.
That's the
worst. I don't mind getting beaten. I don't even really mind getting beaten 5-0. But we didn't go out there to blow them away or try and play on the front foot against them. We just let them run all over us.
What we tried, I said last week, well, I was going to be afraid we would try. We would try to play the way Man City play, but they are just far better at doing it. Arteta needs to get out of his head. We need to start at the back. When we were great, when we were superb, we would basically pass it out, give it to a fast player, we'd run down the wing or lob it up to Henri and they'd score. Right now, we don't even try to run with a ball. It's just, let's just pass it. Let's just pass it back. Let's just pass it sideways. Hopefully, they'll be so fucking bored, they'll fall asleep. We'll get in the box and we'll score. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't work. It's been proven it doesn't work. Arteta even needs to change his game plan totally or fuck off. I did say last week he shouldn't have been at Arsenal for his first job. He should have cut his teeth with a lower league team, learn his trade. He hasn't learned his trade. Oh, I've got a coaching badge. And fuck me. I've got a fucking equivalent of A-level in accountancy, but I'm not a fucking qualified accountant. You know, a coaching badge doesn't mean you are capable of taking over one of the top clubs in Europe, apparently. You know?
Yeah, I think this is where we've got to be careful tonight, because we'll just keep going over the same shit and it'll drag on. But, listen,
but a few more things from that game. One, I know Mari had a bit of a nightmare against Lukaku and Tony. Fair enough. They're big, big blokes. Man City don't have that sort of player up front. So why did we have to pay Kolasinac? I mean, why is Kolasinac even in the in the frame to start. I just didn't get it. And fair enough, he played on Wednesday night, but why did we play Saka for 90 minutes on Wednesday night? I just, like, we didn't even protect
Stuart,
our best players.
Arteta on the phone asking, can you phone him up and say, look, Arteta, can you tell me what the fuck you're doing?
All
I was going to say.
Poor old Lokonga. What did Lokonga have to do to get in that side on Saturday? Because he played great. I thought he played great against Chelsea. He was one of the few players that we thought, actually, we really got a player here. And then he's dropped.
And this,
he just seems to drop players out of nothing, for no reason. He did it with Cedric. He's done it with all the other players that we think, okay, he's had a good game. Suddenly he's dropped.
Cedric was shit Saturday. Yeah. I think what you said, Matt, you're right. There's players, there was lots of players that you were like, why? And then you thought, well, is it because he's trying to do this to counteract something they've done? Well, it clearly wasn't right. It was clearly another night against Villarreal, another night where he's got tactics completely wrong. And you know, we've said it on podcast last week, certainly after Villarreal, you know, why did you play them there and why didn't you just go with what you should have done? So those are mistakes that a junior, you know, a young rookie manager is going to make. Unfortunately, he's making them too frequent now, and he's coming under pressure. And I think with all the stuff going on in the background, and I said about it last week, the lead up to the Man City game, great result game for him. I know it was their reserves, but it was a performance. There were some good goals. It, players enjoying a bit of football. That's one thing you want. You want to try and bring confidence back. The Saturday thing was never expected to win up there, but major mistakes from Arteta made in how he set his team out, and it's bit him in the arse. And I'm not going to carry on because it'll get so negative, but I think we got to the point now with Mikel where we can all see that he's making these mistakes. We all know it's a results-driven game. I think maybe after this international break, we should have some sort of resemblance of a first team that he can pick from, be it new signings, be it. Players that haven't got COVID, whatever it is, you know, if they all come back and he picks that side if he picks that wrong or cocks that up and we lose to Norwich, then I don't see how anyone can sort of carry on with it. I mean, we might give him a couple more games, but I don't see that With the first 11 that we've got, we should be a lot better than we are. And like you said, Kolasinac for me, what a joke! You've got a player there who clearly wants to leave. You know, he's made no thing about it. He's not a player you're interested in keeping at the football club, and yet you play him ahead of Mari, who Mari was one of his signings. You know, I don't understand that. I really don't. So you don't trust Mari, but you do Kolasinac, who might leave on Tuesday. It's ridiculous. Mm. So he's making mistakes, Mikel, and they're showing. So he needs to have a look at himself.
You know, what you said last week, Stuart, about, you know, we could almost pick the same 11 each week. That's what our season's going to be like. We don't need to worry too much about what's happening in midweek. We can choose the same 11. But
oh fuck,
Mikel Arteta just does not do that. He makes these odd switches, even when a player seems to have played well. I don't, you know, and you just think, even if a player has a bad game, the worst thing in a way you can do is to just switch them out all the time.
We had two goalkeepers on the bench on Saturday as well. I mean, surely.
Is that a new thing, though? Do they have to now?
No.
Have they got more substitutes, 9 substitutes or something to name?
No. Well, I don't think so, Matt. But, I mean, to me, I've never seen two goalkeepers on the same. So, I mean, you might be right. Maybe I'm wrong and have not been looking properly. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, why haven't you got one of the younger players, the lad Aziz that we've just loaned to Portsmouth? You know, why don't you put him on the bench? You know, just for a ride along, a bit of experience, get to know the first team. He's been training with the first team. There's, like I say, we could be here all night. We could be here. I think without getting it too drawn out, Arteta now, for me, is going to be judged on the Norwich game. And yeah, if that's
we
kind of
knew that, didn't we, a few weeks ago.
Yeah, thought, if that's not a win, then
you've got Norwich, Burnley, Tottenham, and
we've got Wimbledon. We've got Wimbledon in the cup.
But to be honest, you know, even if we get something against Norwich and nothing against Burnley, he's gone, isn't he? I mean,
I think
those two games. It has to be 6 points. Really.
Yeah, if he doesn't pick up 7 points from 9, I think in September, then I think he's gone. I just can't see how they'll keep going. But I really hope he does. I hope we win all 4 games in September. We're in the next round of the Carabao Cup. We'll be chatting, and we've just come off the back of beating Tottenham in the London Derby, and going well. Here we go.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. Things can change, but this is where the big pressure's now on Mikel. And,
I mean, in normal circumstances, you would almost accept a 0-0 in the next game because you just need to stop the rot. You need to stop conceding goals to start with. And you'd probably accept that in any other circumstance just to get points on the board. But he needs more than that.
He does.
He needs a Hail Mary pass or whatever they say in America.
Yeah. yeah.
He needs to do something.
But there we go. I mean, we all knew what was coming. Good result, though, at West Brom. There was some good stuff in that, albeit, it was their reserve.
Lovely flick from Odegaard.
But yeah,
second half, just
everything we all expected, everything we all expected Saturday, and it just
it didn't
came
take
early.
Long, did it, to completely unravel?
No, I went to a friend's down in Wadhurst, and I really wasn't a bit like John. I didn't want to watch it, but I couldn't resist. I thought, well, if I'm driving down to Wadhurst, we'll be down there by half time. I'll put it on the on my radio in the car, and I was just backing out the drive, pulling up the road, and they've scored. And I'm like, oh fuck me! I've picked a mate of mine up who was taking down there, probably, you know, 5-10 minutes later, and we're 2-0 down. I'm like, Jesus Christ! But it was expected. It was expected, just not as quickly and maybe not as glaringly bad as we came across by the end. Because that could have been a hell of a lot more goals than it was, you know.
I mean, the other person who came on sort of in the second half when the game's dead was Ainsley Maitland-Niles. I'm quite glad he stayed. I know that he's had a bit of a time of it. But I do like Ainsley Maitland-Niles, and I'm glad he stayed. And I'm hoping that players like him can get in the side. And, you know, some of these players just needed a run, just needed a bit of a run of games. And let's hope some of them do get a bit more time on the pitch without these kind of chopping and changing bollocks going on.
I think the thing with Maitland-Niles, which I think a lot of us agree, you know, he'd have been our best option at right back. Yeah. I just think with Maitland-Niles, again, this comes back to the footballing thing about money and people not paying transfers and blah. I think Everton wanted him as a right back.
Yeah.
Well, he moans at Arsenal that that's not where he wants to play. I think Ainsley Maitland-Niles has got to realise that lots of people rate him in that position.
Yeah.
You know,
he's playing for England in that position, wasn't he?
Exactly. And you just, at some point in Ainsley Maitland-Niles' career or in his head, he's got to go, oh, okay, well, if I, you know, if people want me to play here and they like me playing here and I'm earning good money at doing it, I'm going to fucking play here. You know what I mean?
It's a bit like Lauren, isn't it? Or a player like that who came... did he come from Italy, Lauren? And he's playing in sort of defensive midfielder role. He just got put straight at right back by Wenger and never moved out of position. We thought he was going to play sort of in midfield.
Yeah, happens. It happens to players, doesn't it? It does happen. And listen, you know, I just think Ainsley, if he wants to fit in and get game time, as he posted on Instagram, I just want to play somewhere. I can understand his frustration. You know, he got in, you know, he was great in the FA Cup final and all that. And, you know, you think you've sort of broken the back of it. But I think it's when he's sort of saying, well, I want to play it. I want, a bit like Theo Walcott did when I want to play there. I don't want to play here. Yeah.
I know, footballer's got a right to play that.
He's just got to understand that, look, you're getting paid very well. You're on a contract. You're at Arsenal Football Club. Now, play there. You know, you've got to stop your sulking.
Yeah.
If you know, for another team, let's face it, Wolves wanted him, definitely Everton wanted him, and they wanted him to play at right back. So I don't get why he's sulking about that, and he needs to now. Who knows if we play a three now, as it sounds like it's going to be with the new boy Tomiyasu, you're going to have him out on the right-hand side of the three. You'll have Ben White on the left-hand side of a three and probably Gabriel in the middle. Well, you're going to need two that... So you've got Tierney, and then you're thinking maybe Maitland-Niles. You know what I mean? It's that sort of... He's just got to learn that if you want to fucking play games, get if you're asked to play in a position, play in it and show the... Showing you can do it. Don't fucking sulk because you're not in the middle of the park. You know, you'll get called into that if there's injuries or whatever, and then go and show it then. But don't have shit games in those positions and then expect to get picked. Anyway, yeah, I think
No, it was quite nice to see some goals going in on, and for, you know, Aubameyang got a hat trick. I know some of the defending was a bit off and a little bit slow at the times, but, you know, a win's a win. We'll take anything at the minute. But there was a... So who do you think for the next manager? Because there was a report today that Andreas Pirlo was in London, potentially talking to Arsenal.
Did he get sacked from somewhere?
Juve? He was managing Juve.
Right. Did he get sacked?
I presume so.
Right. So
I don't know. Is it kind of like we're sort of Arteta Mark II, maybe, isn't he?
I think you've got the football club, whoever it is, needs to be, as John said earlier. You know, Arteta's it's his first job, and you know, so whoever comes in needs to be an experienced manager. For me personally, you're limited. So, yes, you've got the name we've spoken about, Conte. I seriously don't think.
He committed himself, didn't he? As soon as we lost to Man City, I think it's like starting to get me worried that they might be coming in for him.
That's the sort of person you should be getting in. Yeah. And obviously that's not going to be there. Mm. Like I say, I'll go back, maybe Eddie Howe. I just think that he did well with Bournemouth. We've got to realise, certainly the Cronkies, you know, that this is where they put us. You know, this is where we are. So we're not the big club anymore. And it's a thing to build. And I think because he's got young players, I think it ticks all the boxes for someone like Eddie Howe. I certainly don't want Sam Allardyce.
A bit out there, but is it Graham Cooper? Is it Graham Cooper at Brighton? I can't remember.
Graham Potter. Yeah. Yeah, good manager. Another good manager. Turn Tottenham down, mind. So, yeah. You know what I mean? I think you've got to tread. Well, I mean, there shouldn't be anyone you shouldn't be able to approach, but it's very hard to get anybody. I say very hard, without throwing big money at it. It's very hard to get anybody now. But for me, I think within reason, an experienced manager, and I like the way Bournemouth played. We were linked with him before Arteta joined. I think Eddie Howe would probably be the best, maybe not the longest term bloke, but give him a go, because at least he runs, he's used to running it. He's dealt with that side of things. Mm. And it's probably all we can really go for at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, we've got to realise where we are. You know, everyone's getting hysterical and going loopy. You know, this is years and years of the Cronkies, you know, inhibition and just... You know, if you don't mow your fucking lawn, the garden gets untidy and you don't want to sit and have a barbecue in it. And that's basically what the Cronkies have done. So, it is. You know, you only get out of something what you put into it. They don't give a shit about it. They haven't done. They've used it as a cash cow. And it's going to bite them on the arse. And unfortunately, us as supporters of the football club, who we love, are feeling the pain of that, and until that changes, ultimately nothing will change. So we'll always be trying to patch over the shit that those fucking American cunts have left us with, you know. And I've had enough now talking about football.
Well, in honour of Pirlo being in London, I thought that we'd move on to Quickfire John.
Just quickly, I'm going to say, what I wanted to say was, get Eddie Howe in as quickly as possible. He's cut his teeth at Bournemouth. He is a good manager. He's done what he's had to do. Get him in. That's all I'm going to say. I think I don't see anything happening with Arteta still being there. For some reason, whatever went on last season and the great run we had, brilliant. But you know what? I think it's just time. It's time. For him to make a move and get Eddie Howe in, because he looks great as a woman. So, here we
are. All right, well, with that in mind, John, it's the long haired hunk special on Quickfire John this week. So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Fabio or Jason Momoa?
Aquaman.
Macho Man Randy Savage or Robbie Savage?
Macho Man Randy Savage.
Harry Styles.
He didn't have long hair.
You what? Yes, he did.
He didn't have long hair.
Are you going
not
look?
Really.
Harry Styles or Hanson in their Umbop days?
Hanson.
John Wick or Russell Brand?
John Wick.
Dave Grohl or Dave Beckham when he did his perfume thing?
Dave Grohl.
Kid Rock or Chris Waddle?
Chris Waddle.
Chris Rockle.
I thought you said Chris.
Renegade, the popular 90s programme, or Slash?
I don't even know what Renegade is.
Did you ever see
Slash.
Renegade?
It's got to be Slash.
Slash.
Got to be Slash.
Axl Rose or Pat Sharp?
Fucking hell, try and compare them to
that's what I was trying to do.
I'd love to have a pint with both of them at the same time and go, do you know what, in a quiz I was asked whose haircut I prefer. It's got to be Axl Rose.
Famously, Pat Sharp only had that long sort of mullet for about 6 months and then cut it off because people started to take the mick out of him. And so, like, his whole career was defined by that one haircut. A bit like Chris Waddle. Chris Waddle cut his mullet off for charity just before Italia 90.
Yeah.
And was that why he missed the penalty? Yeah,
people say that's why he missed the penalty, because it was like his Samson sort of thing.
Same effect, yeah.
Terry Nutkins or Terry Hulk Hogan?
I'm going to go for Terry Nutkins.
Both the bald man with long hair look.
Yeah.
And finally, me when I was 19 or Andreas Pirlo?
Pirlo. Oh. I didn't know you when you were...
I was gorgeous when I was 19 with my long hair.
Well,
there
we've
you
all
go.
Been gold.
That's the
no evidence.
That's the long haired hunk special.
And how can you put yourself in the fucking long haired hunk category?
Well, I was.
I'm long haired, but not hunk.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the Stupid Machine. And this week, it's the Humans with Gemma Chan, Stoop Machine.
Never heard of it.
Never seen it. It's on Netflix now. It's on Channel 4. So let's put a quid in it. And, oh no, it's her off the IT crowd. And she's told them to turn the robots off and on again. But oh no, a load of blue liquid has come out of the girl from the Inbetweeners 2 movie. There you go. That's the Humans, Stoop Machine.
I don't know how it got on.
It was a mixed story. Sunderland won against Wickham 3-1.
Yes.
Yeah. But Forest Green lost at home.
Oh yeah, Forest Green wankers.
To Port Vale. So yeah. Not a great start to the season for Arsenal or the Stoop Machine, but let's try and rectify that.
I'm going to take a bit of a gamble on this one as well. So this probably won't happen, but I'm thinking, because we've got an international break, haven't we? So I'm going to go for three draws. And they're all in the Premier League. And it's more because players coming back from international duty, not really knowing what's got, you know, squads getting back together with only a couple of days to prepare. And so I'm going to go with Brentford versus Brighton as a draw. I'm going to go with Southampton West Ham as a draw. And I'm going to go with Watford Wolves as a draw. I mean, you don't have to do all three of them, but I think they're all potentially good sort of... I mean, you've got to say that if you're going to put money on it, isn't it? But that's how I'm going. I was going to add a fourth one to it because I'd just love to see Vieira stick something up Tottenham, knowing, you know, and I'm not saying they'll beat Spurs, but Spurs aren't exactly scoring lots. Palace have just signed, they had quite a good transfer window with that Edouard signing yesterday. I think Palace might get something out of the game. I'm not saying they'll beat Tottenham, but I was thinking of putting that in as me fourth one. So if you really fancy a Yankee Doodle Dandy, have 50p on it, costs you £6.50. I reckon you'll probably earn, well, that might be about 100 quid touch if you do that. So, but yeah, so throw the Palace Spurs one in if you're really mad. I'm more doing that because of my Arsenal blinkers, but Brentford Brighton, Southampton West Ham, Watford Wolves, all for them to draw. Bosh, have it.
Right, well, let's put another pound in the Humans, Stoop Machine. And oh no, the bloke from Merlin is all broody about losing his mad daddy, and now he's trying to get off with Jack Whitehall's missus. There you go. That's the human stoop machine. Great program. Right. I've
never seen it.
It's we're off to the land of the rising sun next in the Jukebox Challenge. So, in honour of our latest Japanese signing, Tomiyasu, I thought we should have a Japanese quiz this week on the strength of our Norwegian quiz last week. And let me hear what your records are this week, first of all.
I want The Secret He Had Missed by the Manic Street Preachers, and I think it's featuring Jackie Cummings.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because I thought it sounded like Jacqueline Abbott when I first heard it. But it's just on the radio at the moment, and we're really busy at work, and it's just one of them songs that when you hear it, it's a new song, and right. It just cheers me up. It's a bit beaty, it's manic-y, it sounds like Jacqueline Abbott, although it isn't. But, it's good. I like that one. So, yes, if I may, I'll have that one.
And what about you, John?
I've got The Hand That Rocks the Cradle by the Smiths. It was going to be something else because I woke up with a song in my head. And for the life of me, I've got no idea what it was. So, Hand That Rocks the Cradle was one of the last... or the last song playing on my iPod when I finished work. And that was that, really.
Nice. Like a bit of the old Smiths, son.
Okay. Yeah, I just had to go. I couldn't remember the name of it. So I had to Google the lyric, "Climb Up On One Knee, Sonny Boy." So that was that. And then it was The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. So not the Al Jolson song.
Or the Bill Cosby,
with Rebecca De Mornay in.
Pardon?
There's a film with Rebecca De Mornay called The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yes, there was.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking
film.
About Come Up On My Knee, Sonny Boy.
Yeah.
Well, she was one of those.
What film she was in? She's, called that.
She was one of those great actresses, wasn't she? That didn't mind getting them out.
I would say she was a great actress. She started in
Risky Business.
No, it was a film. I don't know whether she was positive it was her. It wasn't 9 and a Half Weeks, but it was along the similar lines of that title.
Mm.
7 days, seven. I can't remember. She did kind of.
Was it the Fellini remake film with Richard Gere, that one.
I can't remember. It wasn't 9 and a Half, whatever it was. It was like...
2 and a half seconds.
2 and a half seconds, what it was for me when I was 13 years old, watching Risky Business.
Well, watching Rebecca De Mornay, as she was nicknamed, Rebecca De Horny.
Of course she was.
No, she was one of those actresses that... kind of just started off on very low level movies where it just involved her pretty much basically. I don't think she's ever had any actual proper decent parts. She's got some decent parts. I'm not sure whether she had decent parts, but I don't know. Anyway, regardless of that,
Cradle.
Animal Cradle was a good film.
Yeah, I like that. It's an oldie though, isn't it?
Yeah, 90s.
I mean, it was a real guarantee, wasn't it, when you were in Blockbusters? Oh, it's got Rebecca De Mornay in it. Great.
I thought that had Bob Holness in it.
So here we go.
No.
I thought he was in Blockbuster.
No, it's not. I can't find the one you're talking about, John. I imagine there was a lot of... in the late 80s.
Anyway, any films
do write in
where she gets her kit out, then please let us know. And obviously, to balance it, if anybody's got some Terry Nutkins shows or films where he gets his kit off, like this, then, you know,
where you see Nutkins nuts.
Yeah, we need to give balance.
Yeah, balance for the viewers. Nutkins nuts or De Mornay's De Hornay's. Right, okay. So here's the quiz. Who's going to go first this week? Did John went first last week, controversially. So do you want to go first this week, Stuart?
I don't mind, Matt. I don't mind.
Four questions about Japan.
How many?
Four questions about Japan.
Okay.
Question number one. What popular Japanese bar activity is literally translated as empty orchestra?
Karaoke.
Correct. Question number two. What is Japan's highest mountain?
No, I don't know. I was going to say Yoko Ono, but that dude is married to John Lennon. Yoko
Ono. I believe I know it.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I will know it when you say it, but I can't. John, does it begin with S? Does it begin with S?
No.
Okay.
John?
Is it Fuji?
It is, yes, Fuji. Question number three. What beer shares its name with the venue of the 1972 Winter Olympics?
I don't know.
Japanese beer. Nearly there.
Sahi?
San Miguel.
it's not Sahi.
No.
John?
No, it's not a dick. No idea.
It's Sapporo. And finally, who did Arsenal sell to Fulham and then went on to play for West Brom from Japan?
Miyashi.
It was the other one. Yep. I know him.
Hold on.
Stop Googling.
No, I'm not Googling. I'm trying to think of it. I'm standing outside having a fag, John.
With his daughter with a... Googling it.
Inamoto.
That's a bit like last week. John's one from last week. But we'll give you it. 2 out of 4. Right. So, John, here's your questions.
Well, I knew 2 or 3 of Stuart, so I'm fucked on this one.
Question number one. What club did Arsene manage and Gary Lineker play for in Japan?
Grand Passai.
Correct. In Japanese culture, what is a katana?
It's a sword, like a samurai sword. I can't remember if it's the big one or the small.
You've got fucking Japan on Wiki tonight.
In Japan?
No, because I've watched Shogun.
With Richard Clayderman, isn't it?
Don't buy one, will you?
Chamberlain.
Not Richard Clayderman. He was a pianist. Richard Clayderman on Shogun.
I've never seen Richard Clayderman in Shogun.
Getting his fingers chopped off on the piano.
You got to learn Japanese. Well, I can teach you how to play the piano instead. Let's go to war.
Question number three. In Japan, what food is literally translated as sour rice?
Oh, I was going to say sushi, but that can't be right.
Correct.
Oh, is it sushi?
It is sushi.
It's got fish on it. So that's
and
for me.
And finally, born in Hawaii to Samoan parents, Kunishiki became a cultural icon in sport in Japan due to his enormous size. But what sport?
Sumo wrestling.
Correct. Do you remember Kunishiki? He was enormous. He was like 650 pounds or something.
I think I've seen one of those pictures. He's a bit like Yokozuna.
There you go. So, John.
There you go. I've actually won something.
John is the winner.
Yeah.
And so let's listen to a bit of Mama.
Seven out of 8 answers.
So
that's not bad.
Yeah. Let's listen to
a bit of
Rebecca De Mornay then.
Yeah, let's just have 4.5 minutes of Rebecca De Mornay
talking in the Hand of Rocks.
shimmy by. And when the wardrobe towers like a beast of prey, the sadness in your beautiful eyes, oh, your untouched and sold wondrous eyes, my life then I shall lie. Should a restless spirit try to play tricks on you,
Morrissey. And I've got to give you a chance, Stuart, as I usually give John. So you've got to name any other Premier League player from Japan who hasn't been mentioned tonight.
From Japan, Jesus.
There ain't that many.
No. Now, didn't we have someone called
Asano? We had another one, didn't we?
Didn't we have Asano? I can't remember his first name, but his second name was Asano. We signed him, or Arsene Wenger signed him, or someone did.
Yeah, you did. Yes,
yeah, I think it was
Takuma Asano. He came there from VFL in Bundesliga.
Who was the one? There was another one. Not at our club, but I'm just trying to think of his name.
There's one. There's a big one from Man United.
My favourite Japanese footballer, who I wish we'd signed, played for Roma. Was it Hiroshi Nakata? Yes. Nakata was fantastic.
Yeah, he was.
There's only been about 10, actually.
Didn't we have four? Haven't we?
We had Ryo Miyachi, who you were...
Yeah. And then Inamoto, Asano. Didn't we have another one?
Well, Inamoto... Ryo Miyachi, Asano, we've had a fourth one now.
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah.
But Man United had Shinji Kagawa.
Yeah.
There's the guy who played for Leicester when they won the league. Is it Ossie? I should just look it up, shouldn't I now? Ossie Andy, I want to say. That doesn't sound right. Japanese Premier League players. The player who went from Liverpool, Minamino.
Went to Southampton on loan, didn't he?
There's Kagawa. Oh, God, where are we? Toda, who played for Tottenham, I don't think for very long. Nakata played for Bolton Wanderers. He had sort of funny hair. Kagawa. Yoshida, who played for Southampton. That's his name. Shinji Okazaki played for Leicester City when they won the league.
Yeah.
And someone called Yoshinori Muto, who played for Newcastle. So not that many, actually.
No.
So obviously, probably does our profile a bit of good in Japan.
Who was the one who played for Roma then, Matt? Was it Hiroshi Nakata, or was that somebody? Or did he go for Roma?
I think he may have joined. That might be the same player.
I think Nakata joined Bolton like late in his career, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh boy.
I think he did. That's. I think that was the one I was trying to think of.
They seem to attract sort of like they got people like.
Yeah, they got some decent players when they were late on in their career, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was this French striker they got?
Oh yeah, with the short hair.
Didn't they also get someone from Real Madrid or Barcelona?
Bolton. Let's have a look. Bolton players.
Yeah, well, they had JJ so good they named him twice a Kotcher, didn't they?
Yeah.
They had the long-haired Frenchman and they had the short-haired Frenchman.
Oh, Yuri Djorkaeff.
Yeah, that's it. That's the short-haired. Who's the long-haired one?
They had an Elka, didn't they, Bolton?
No, yeah, they did, but it weren't him I'm thinking of. He's a bit like French-looking, bit of a stubbly, beardy, but long hair.
I know what you mean.
I don't think what his name was.
I can't remember.
But they did. It was in the Allardyce era, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they seem to pick up sort of those sort of ageing players.
Yeah.
There you go. So next game's Norwich. We've got to give a prediction. Let's go for it.
Well, I've got to say Arsenal to win 2-0. I'm not saying that will happen, but I just can't say anything less than that.
Yeah, I think I was going to say 3-1.
I'm going 4-0 Arsenal. I think we need to claw back some of our negative
nine,
goals.
Nine goals, you're right, John.
I really hope that is the
case. Having watched Norwich, right, yeah. I mean, I know we're bottom, but they really... I don't know how you can say this. They're really not that good. I said to my mate today, I said, if you look at our first three games, we've basically played two of the Champions League finalists from last year. Both those teams will be in a tussle to win the league. But now, that's a tough start. When people bang on about, it's your worst start since 1954, well, we've played Man City and Chelsea and Brentford, who took us by surprise, quite frankly, and played very well. So, in theory, remember when a couple of years ago, I think it was your ticket side, Stuart, we played Liverpool, played United City, lost both games. Oh, it's your worst start for so many years.
Yeah.
We just played fucking Liverpool and City. Now we just played Chelsea and City.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. I think we accept that we're not in their class. So we have to put those to one side and go, yeah, right off the top six and say we might be lucky to pick up a few points. But all the other teams, I'm sure, we're more than capable of beating or drawing.
I mean, Norwich have shipped 10 goals. The only reason they're above us in the table is because they've scored a goal. A goal. So we're both on the same goal difference.
That's what I hope John's so right, because we need to score goals. We need to keep a clean sheet and we need to chip some off that thing. And, you know, we're not going to get carried away if we could do what John suggested, a 4-0. But you'd then like to think, right, we go away to Burnley confident. We then get Wimbledon at home in the Carabao Cup and beat them and confidence. And then when Tottenham come calling, we've got a bit more settled to us. The pressure's off. But the confidence is there. And
I'll tell you something, right, Stuart, right? If we had played Norwich instead of City after that West Brom game, I think we would have hammered them.
Yeah.
It's just the fact of the matter is, we got City who are very, very, very good. That's all there is to it. There's not many teams that I'm not going to lose. Tell you what, if you take everyone's results at the end of the season and go, who lost to City and Chelsea, and then see if there's more than seven sides who didn't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's not going to happen. So we lost to City and Chelsea, big fucking deal. If we then lose to Norwich, or we lose to Burnley, or we lose to West Ham, or whatever, Southampton, and all that. Let's be judged on the Villas, the Evertons, the Leedses, the Southamptons and Norwiches. Let's be judged on those results. If we lose to all them, then yes, then there's a massive fucking issue at that club.
Yeah.
But let's not start crying because we're being battered by teams that people have to accept are better than us. Liverpool, United, City, Chelsea, four teams guarantee who should turn us over. Yeah. That's the way.
And the fact that when you put this month, when what you said about this month's fixtures being like the Chelsea and Man City in this month, and yeah, no, Tottenham ain't miles better than us. So when you put the next month's fixtures in front of you, they're all winnable games. If we haven't won a fucking game at the end of next month, then we are seriously in the shit. We could go or Arsenal Football Club, and if Mikel Arteta's got what he wants and gets things ticking, we could quite easily go unbeaten next month and win all those games. So we'll judge it then, aren't we? You know, there'll be a lot of keyboard warriors backing down from what they're saying and the press getting off his back and then things start to settle and confidence, you know? What did we have, 14 points at Christmas last year?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so you could potentially, there's 9 points up for grabs in September, you know, with whatever fixtures we've got October, November, we could surpass that quite easily.
I mean, the next 10 aren't that bad. I mean, Tottenham are in there, but the rest aren't.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, and we've got to be up in our game. Mikel's got to up his game, but we can't get all doom and gloom. We've got to stay positive. And like I say, I think if things are as bad as they feel at this point, at the start of the month, if we feel like this at the start of October, then I think that's him done. But if we're on a buzz and we're talking about winning games and how good this goal was and what a great pass and what, you know, that's what we should be talking about and we haven't been able to. So let's hope that is the case for everyone, for all the fans. And but otherwise, then I think we'll be looking for a new manager come October. So,
yeah.
So John's going 4-0. I'm going 2. What did you go, Matt? 15.
3-1.
Yeah.
You can wait till the next podcast. We'll sit there going, fucking hell.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's a thing at the moment. And I just, not that we spoke about it, but did you see the AF Arsenal fan TV post about we were celebrating Man City's fourth goal?
Really?
No.
So they posted up on their thing. They've taken it down since. But AFTV had posted something that when Man City scored the fourth, the Arsenal fans celebrated the goal.
Yeah.
And you can see the post and obviously the Arsenal fans are going mad and jumping about and doing. And I must say, credit to all those that went. The best chant I heard was,
you're nothing special, we're always this shit.
Yeah. But they've got the song now, haven't they? I like it, 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 like it. Saka and Emil Smith Rowe, and it just keeps going around. Well, that's what they were singing, and there was a guy put it up on Facebook. He said, for all those, you know, like AFTV, yeah, and that's why they took it down, because it was at the moment Man City had scored the fourth goal, and that's what they were all doing, and they were all going mad. They were brilliant. I think the away support up there Saturday was absolutely superb. People say, oh, they should be refunded their money. Well, as funny as that should be, it was exactly, was it 10 years ago? Yeah, it was exactly 10 years ago to the day that I went to Old Trafford and was just get fucking beat 8-2. I didn't get me fucking money back, I'll tell you. No. So
we've all been to away matches where we got battered. I mean, I went Southampton in Cheery's first full game, and he scored that trick. We lost 4-2.
Yeah.
You know, we've all
done it. It's just one of those.
John, I wasn't like saying I'd been to the worst game or anything like that. All I'm saying is just a big mention to those fans.
Yeah,
you know,
I think they deserve gone, a lot of credit because to go
and
up
and
there,
they were
no they want to hide into nothing.
Yeah, they were singing Arsenal, they were backing Arsenal 4-0 down, you know, and fair back to them and really good to see. And they're the sort of things that the fucking Cronkies should look at to see really what they've got and what they're, but they're never going to appreciate it. Let's face it. So I don't want to get gloomy. Let's wrap her up.
I think as long as we take our time and don't go too manic, then the secret he has missed. I can't really do an ending to it. Just the Manic Street Preachers. See you next week.
We're going to be preaching in the streets
next week.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Come on, you Arsenal.
Up the arse.
Come on,
the secret key.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well done, boys. The end.